if the Lord were to ask the Lord, how can I spend the rest of my life? And so you say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to make the rest of my life the best of my life? And so we don't have to wonder what He might answer. You don't have to wonder as to what He would say, and because He's already told us how to make the rest of your life the best of your life, and that is to put first things first in your life. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, by the way, my alarm goes off on my phone every morning at 6:33 in the morning. It reminds me that God must come first in my life. Now, sometimes I just swoop it off and go back to sleep, but I am reminded at that point, it is 6:33. It's Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is what is to be first and priority in our life. He must come first in our life. I think we can summarize what Jesus said in this passage in three words. First things first. You've got to keep the first thing, the most important thing first in your life. And invest it in eternity in our lives again and again, day after day after day. First must remain first in our life. And so I know that sounds simple, but I want you to know that if you would constantly and consistently put first things first, it'll transform your life. We won't get so bogged down in the things of the world. We won't get caught up in the things that aren't right in the world. We won't get so worried about things. We won't get so agitated and irritated about things if we would just make sure that the first thing is always first in our life, is to put God first. A formula for how to make the rest of your life the best of your life, and that's put first things first, is found right here in this verse. So let's take a look. Three simple points. We ought to be out of here, 12:30 is normal. And so how do you make the Lord first in your life? First of all, you need to set your priorities. It's a choice that you make. God does not force you to make Him priority number one in your life. That's a choice that you must make. Everything rises or falls right here in this verse. If your priorities are not in order, your life will not be in order either. If your priorities are not right, you won't be right. Now, you don't have to pray about what number one priority ought to be in your life. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to discuss it with your spouse. You don't have to look for it. You just have to do it, because Jesus has already told us what is to be first in your life. And He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The word seek there means to actively pursue, to go after, as though there were nothing else to go after, as though your life depended upon it. This is what you need to go after. This is to do this again and again and again, because it is it's in the present tense, therefore it means continuously. Keep seeking the kingdom of God is what He's telling us here. Every day of your life, you ought to seek the kingdom of God first. Now, we get caught up in this world, and if we're not careful, we will start seeking after gold. We will start seeking after cars. We'll start seeking after education, fame. Relationships will become priority in my life. But He says we are to go after the kingdom of God first in our life, because we're going to find out that everything else in life that we worry about, that we fuss over, that we sleep, don't get any sleep at night about. He says, if you seek me first, watch what I'll do with everything else in your life. If this is what's first, everything else will fall right into place. That's what He's going to tell us. Let's take a look. In order to seek the kingdom of God, the first thing, you must seek the King. You must seek the King. First priority in your life ought to be to seek the King of the kingdom, and that's Jesus. You've got to seek the Lord Jesus first in your life. Did you know that the Christian life is more than just about accepting the Lord as your Savior? There's more to the Christian life than that. Because a lot of people think, okay, I've accepted Him as my Savior. I believe He died on the cross for me. And there you go. I've got my foot in heaven's door. You see that? And then they no longer seek after Him. He's no longer, rather, He was never a priority number one in your life. And He still, maybe He was at some point, but now I've kind of drifted back out. And now He's down to number 2, 3, 18 on my priority list now. It happens to all of us. All of us. This is a constant struggle that we have, and that is to keep Him number one. And a lot of times it's because the world is screaming at us. The office has to have this work done, and this has got to be done, and this person's got to, they're sick, and they need, and it just on and on the list goes of things that will challenge that number one spot in our life. But we have to seek the King of the kingdom. We have to seek King Jesus. The Lord is not just somebody that you passively accept. He's someone that you actively seek. Day in and day out. You know, can I tell you something about your relationship with God? You see, I don't even know you. I don't even know your necessarily. I know some of you. But I don't know necessarily your walk with the Lord. Okay, and where you are in that, and where He is on your priority list of things. But let me tell you this, I can tell how much of God you have. You have all of God that you want. Why? Because God wants to be number one in your life. God wants all of you. God is willing to give all of Himself over to you. But it's your choice as to how much God that you want in your life. You see, I've got Him down to number 5, and as soon as this works out in my life, then I'll bump Him up to number, you know, football season is over, and He'll be right up there in number 2 slot, you see, because now that started, you know, whatever sport or whatever thing that's going on in my life. You've got as much of God as you want in your life, in that priority spot. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and that is to seek after the King, and that is the Lord Jesus. And so how much God do you want? Well, I want an hour of Sunday. That's what I want. And I'll be okay with that. Dare I say that He's not number one on your priority list, if that's all that there is. But God wants that closeness. God wants to be in that number one spot, but He won't fight His way through all the other things that we hang on to and all of those things in that spot. He won't fight His way to the top. It's a choice you have to make. But God wants that number one spot. You see, how can you say that? Because James 4:8 says, draw near unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so we look through James, and we're getting back to James. We'll finish off James chapter 5. But he says here that God won't, he won't beat all those other ones out and push them out of the way to get there. That's up to you. But James says, don't be double-minded about this. Oh, God's number one in my life. But is He really? It's got to be more than just something we say. It's got to be us seeking after the King of the kingdom as well. Not enough to seek the Lord. You've got to seek Him first. We seek after a lot of things in life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. First means that you're putting the Lord first in your life. Not just the fact that Jesus has a place in my life. But Jesus has the first place in my life. There is a huge difference in that. And it will affect the way in which you walk in this world. It'll affect your testimony. It'll affect your confidence, your commitment to the Lord. It'll be a way to deal with life out there. We can't, you know, when we get so frustrated and angry and all the evil and everything that's going on. But when you're this close to the Lord, when He's number one in your life, you'll pray about it. Instead of blow up at people. You'll talk to the Lord about it. Jesus wants the first moments of every day. Jesus wants the first day of every week. Jesus wants, the King wants the first part of every paycheck. The King wants to be first. The Lord is not interested in being runner up. That's not what he's looking for. He's not interested in being vice president of your life and you being the president. He's not interested in becoming a second command in your army. He's not interested, you know, in anything else. He wants to be the king on the throne of your heart, not a co-partner in a duplex. You see, you got to understand there's only one place, one thing that you can put in that top spot in your life. Jesus says, put first the kingdom of God. Put King Jesus on the throne of your life. That number one spot. Not only are we to seek the king, but we need to seek the kingdom as well. We need to seek the kingdom. The kingdom of God ought to be the passion of your life. Well, you say, what is he talking about? The word kingdom literally means rule and reign. We are to seek not only the King of the kingdom, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he becomes King of your life when you accept him into your heart as Savior. He becomes the King, the ruler. And so now you're to seek after the kingdom, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, that is God's rule and reign in my life. That's what I want in my life. You say, well, I don't want that. You know, I moved out of my parents' house because of all of their rules and this and that and the other, you know. But if Jesus is not ruling and reigning in your life, I can guarantee you life is not going too great. Because Jesus is the one that adds blessings to our lives. Jesus is the one who makes the car run a little longer before it needs to go into the shop. Jesus is the one who provides a calm person at the DMV. You ever get one of those? And so they're kind of scarce, you know what I'm saying? But Jesus can work that out in our lives. That's what he does. And so I want the rule, I want the reign of Jesus, the rule of his kingdom to be a part of my life. That's what I want to function with. A kingdom is a place where the king rules, does it not? Sure it does. To seek the kingdom of God is to want him to rule and reign in your entire life, not just on Sundays. When you truly seek his kingdom, you're seeking after three things. Three things. Write these down. First of all, you're seeking for the glory of the king. Okay? You seek the glory of the king in your life. A loyal subject always wants to do whatever the king would have him to do. That's what I want to do. Because I'm loyal to him, he tells me to go, I go. If he tells me to stop, I stop. If he tells me to do whatever, then that's exactly what I do. No questions asked. That's simply what I do. Every part and parcel of my life, every minute, every moment of time, every ounce, every pound of strength, every muscle, every fiber of my body ought to be given for the glory of God in my life. That's my existence. That's why he's number one in my life. Because I want to give him the glory. He's to get it. I'm not to shine, but I'm to shine the light upon him, exalt him in my life. And so this is what it means to seek the kingdom of God. But it also means to seek for the guidance of the king as well. Loyal, a subject always wants to do what the king would have him do. There is no higher calling. No higher calling to find out what Jesus wants done in your life. And then you go and do it. Because he's number one in my life. He's priority in my life. But I don't want to go to talk to so-and-so about Jesus. I want to watch the ball game. See? Who's ruling and reigning? The life. To put him number one and leave him there. And whatever he wants done, that's exactly what you do. I'm going to follow his guidance in life. Every morning in your life ought to be to begin by asking the Lord just exactly what Paul did on the Damascus Road. And Paul asked this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, you woke me up this morning. Must be a reason. Than just to take up space on the couch or something, you know, and eat the food in the cupboard. And so there's got to be something here that you want me to do. What is it, Lord, do you want me to do today? You're the king. You're number one. What are we doing today? You ask him. If he says, go to work, you say, well, yeah, that's a given. No, ask him. Get in the habit of asking the Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do today? Again and again and again. Lord, what will you have me to do about this situation that I'm struggling with? And it's going to come to a head today. What will you have me to do? Follow His guidance in your life. Make Him number one. Seek the kingdom of God, His rule in your life as well. Seeking the kingdom also means to seek His government of the king as well. Loyal subject desires to be controlled by the king, to be governed by the king, to be ruled by the king, to make the rest of your life the best of your life. You need to set priorities. You need to seek the king and the kingdom in your life as well. To follow after the government means that His commands, His rules, His laws, His way, His will for my life, His plan, His path is what I follow after. I no longer have any plans. My plan is simply to seek after Him. I'm to do that, and He will let me know what I need to do in life. And I will walk and follow in those steps. That's what I want for my life. Kingdom living is seeking the King and the kingdom. This is what He says. Make that number one in your life. How do you make the Lord first in your life? First of all, you set right priorities. Second, you need to seek His purity as well. Notice He goes on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, is what He says. Seek after His purity. Not only are we to seek His kingdom, we're to seek His righteousness. That is, we're not only to be seeking His control over us, but we're also to be seeking God's character within us. Not just His control, ruling and reigning, but becoming more like the King. Because His kingdom, His rule, His way, His word is making a difference in my life. So I begin to look like one of His followers. I begin to look like one of the subjects in His kingdom now. So when others see me, they'll know without a doubt that I belong in His kingdom. I'm not of this world. I belong to His kingdom. That's because He is number one in my life. Kingdom of God is not only to be an inward experience, it is to be an outward expression in our lives as well. In other words, as you seek the kingdom of God, people ought to be able to see the kingdom of God in you. And so the question is, can they see God at work in my life? Can they see that my king is not in the White House? My king is not over here, you know, some foreign land as a king. My king is not of this world, He's of the next. And it's King Jesus seated upon His throne. He is number one in my life, making the difference. That's what's different that you see about me in my life. What does it mean to seek the righteousness of God? First of all, it means that you desire for His righteousness in your life. You desire for His righteousness in your life. What do we do what we want to do, do we not? We always do what we want to do. If that's true, and it usually is, we all do what we want to do. We find every excuse in the book to do it. Yeah, and why we can't do what we should be doing. And so we do what we want to do in life. Well, when you do what you want to do, who is now number one in your priority list? You are. Yourself. You are. If you do what you want to do instead of what He wants to do in your life, you become king. You tell Him, hey, slide over, move out of the way. I'm going to sit there for a little while, just a little while until I get this done. I'll be king, and then when I'm done, I'll move out of the way, and you can come back and sit right there. You see that? It's kind of silly, isn't it? But isn't that what we do? Huh? He says, seek after His righteousness, is what He said. And so instead of doing what we want to do and be what we want to do and how we retaliate the way in which we should, we have to seek after His righteousness to be at work in my life. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, is what He says. This world cannot fill you. The ways of this world cannot satisfy. You ought to desire to be right, do right, and live right as much as a hungry man does food. You know, I'm telling you what, sometimes I get so hungry. My wife says, are you hungry? I said, I'm so hungry I can eat an old boot. Just put a little salt and pepper on it and I'll eat it because I'm that hungry. And so that's the way that we ought to be when it comes to the Lord and His righteousness in our life, working His purity at work in my life. Lord, there's areas in my life I know that needs to be cleaned up. I know that I've got to get rid of some of these thoughts that I have. I know that I keep pushing You out of that number one spot. And so, God, I need You to work in my life. That's what's needed in our lives. And so not only are you to have a desire for His righteousness, but you also want to develop His righteousness in your life. We are to seek His righteousness. You know why we're to seek His righteousness? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why we have to seek after His righteousness? We don't have any. We don't have any. Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's all we have to offer up to Him. You know, imagine, you know, the mechanic, he's going out and he's working on the car, he's changing the oil, and he comes back inside, you know, and he's got the t-shirt that he used, and it's like, hey, can you wash this? And she'll say, no, I can't, look at this. It's got oil all over it, oil stains and this. You're never going to get those out. Throw it away. That's what God says about our filthy rags of righteousness as well. He says that's what has convicted us. To an eternity separated from God. But along comes Jesus who died on the cross for me. And He says, I'm going to robe you in My righteousness. And so our desire ought to be to seek after and develop His righteousness in our life. Because when Jesus saved you, the Holy Spirit comes and He dwells within you and He wants to work in your life. He wants to produce His righteousness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control. The things that you won't find out in the world. That's why our world is in such a mess. It doesn't have the righteousness of God. It's got the thinking of man, the desires of man, the old sinful heart is what's going on out there. But we are to develop the righteousness of God and let Him work in and through our lives. God is not interested in what you can do for Him. Think about that. Let that sink in. He's interested in what He can do through you. Because again, your righteousness is as filthy rags. So He's got to be number one in your life. You've got to let Him develop His character in your life, becoming more like the King, and let Him work in and through your life. This is what's needed in your life. And so God is not interested in what you can do. He's interested in what you can do or what He can do through you. And we ought to live like we're part of the kingdom. That's the way in which we ought to live. We're never going to make a difference in this world until the world sees a difference in us. Otherwise, we're never going to make a difference. If God is ruling over you, His righteousness is reigning in you, people will see your faith by your fruit. They'll see His righteousness, that our works so shine before men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven, Jesus said. And so as we're working and we're serving Him, letting Him work in and through our lives, we're seeking after His righteousness to change us, to make us more like Him. Tired of the old way in which I was living and be getting angry with everybody and upset and on and selfish and unforgiving and all of that's now gone because King Jesus is number one in my life. He's the one that's at work in my life. Mark of a Christian is that he makes it easier for others to believe in God. Think about that. A lot of times, if Jesus is not number one in our lives, we make it difficult for others to come to know Jesus as Savior. And so to make first things first in your life, you need to seek His purity by desiring His righteousness and to be developed in your life, to make a change in your life. Now we move on. Last point. How can you make the Lord first in your life? You need to stand on the promise. Stand on the promise. Now notice what he says. Go back to verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now notice what he says. He doesn't just stop right there. Because I know what you're thinking. Okay, if I'm going to seek Him first and His righteousness, and then that means I've got to sit in the church house and 24/7 and just do nothing but pray and chant and do all of those things, you know, and I can't go to work and I can't because I got to pray and I got to read the Bible and I got to do all of these things. People are going to start pushing me around, but I got a job and I got to get food and I got a mortgage payment and a car payment and all of those things. And so we begin to worry about all of those things now. It's not your job to worry about those things. Notice what he says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Huh. And all these things shall be added unto you. That brings up a good question. What things is the Lord referring to? What things is He referring to? I believe He was talking about all the things that people worry about. All the things that people worry about. All the things that people push God out of the way for. Put these things on the number one spot. And so He gets bumped down the list out of all these things. He says the things we fight for and the things we get up and spend so many hours for and fighting after and struggling and pushing for and cheating for and lying for and stealing and on all of these things, you see, that keep us up at night as well. And notice what He says. He says all these things, if you seek My kingdom and My righteousness, I'll add all of these things unto you. That's a promise of God that you have. God keeps His promise. What things? Verse 19, same chapter. Look what he said. We're told that people worry about finances. Verse 19, lay up for your treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor doth corrupt, where thieves break through to steal. And so they were worried. Worry, he said, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so these are the people worry about the finances of life. And he says, oh, but do me, just seek after My kingdom, My righteousness, and I will take care of what you need. I will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So don't worry about this. You seek Me and everything else will fall into line. Everything else will fall right into place of your life. Verse 25, notice what we're told. People worry about food. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for life. And so take no thought means do not worry about this. Don't worry about this. Now, he's not saying be neglectful and go to the ball game or go to the music concert and don't worry about food because he'll take care of that. There's responsibility in there. But if God is first in your life, he says, I will take care of your need. And he says here in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And so he says here, I will supply that. I will make sure that you have this. Oh, but you don't understand. I don't think that's possible. Then you don't trust Him. So then what happens is we push Him out of the top slot there and we bump Him down some. We put ourselves right back up there. I will supply my need. I will take care of the food. I will do this. I'll make sure that that's why when you get up in the morning, you say, yeah, but I got to go to work. When you get up in the morning, Lord, what would you have me to do today? He'll say, go to work. You go to work. He's provided the job. You see that? That's how it works. Verse 27, notice what he says. Which of you by taking one thought can add to his future, he says. And so here he's talking about fitness, you see. And so he says, we say, oh, but I'm too short. I'm too this, I'm too that. And he says, what worrying about it is not going to change you one bit. Let Me worry about your fitness. And let me add this as well, your health in this as well. Does that mean that I'm saying you're always going to be healthy? No, I'm not saying that. But God says, I will take care of you, even through that. I will supply what you need. You make Me number one in your life. I will add these things unto you. I will take care of you. That's a promise that I have. Verse 28, notice he says, and why take thought for raiment? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they toil not, neither do they spin. And so you get up in the morning and you know, the certain, you know, a person in the house, you know, she'll spend, you know, 30 minutes, you know, going back and forth to the closet and try this on, try that on, try this on, try that on. And before long, there's a big pile in the closet. It's empty. I found one! And we come to church. He says, don't worry about the clothing, you know, with the things that you shall put on. He said, I will supply these things. He says, have I not done these for the lilies? And aren't you much more valuable to me than that? He said, I will, trust me, you make me number one in your life, and I will add all these things unto you. You'll have a life that is blessed. I'll take care of every part of your life. You'll have nothing to fuss and fume about as well. You say, well, how do you know that's true? You know, are these things needed in your life? This fitness and food and fashion and finances, are they needed in your life? Sure they are. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, that's their number one priority. That's the world's number one priority. He goes on to say, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You see that? Put me number one in your life. Oh, but what about all these things in my life? He says, I'll take care of that because I'm fully aware of what's going on in your life. Just make me number one in your life. Okay? I'm convinced there are four lessons God's people desperately need to learn. Okay? From this verse of Scripture. Four things. You see, we're just getting started. That was just the introduction. You laugh now. First of all, you don't need everything you want. You don't need everything you want. Oh, if I could only have the money back from the things I thought I really wanted in life. You ever make some of those purchases in life that you just thought that this is what I want, and it just turned out, you know, it's in the garbage can now. Because we thought it was going to make me happy, a new phone, a new this, a new that, a new car, a new this, a new that, you know, and we thought we don't need everything we want. God knows this. God knows that we don't need everything that we want. Which leads us to the second point, and that is this. You don't want everything you need. See, that's the flip side of that. You don't want everything you need. Huh. I never wanted a spanking. But I needed one. You know what I'm saying? I never wanted that hickory switch across the back of my legs. Remember, I told you that hickory tree, you know, was bare, you know, from as far as he could reach. And so he'd come in with that thing and it would switch around and make that noise coming. It hit the back of your leg. Whoosh, I mean, you could hear it. Ooh. But it was what I needed. We don't always want what we need in life. Third lesson is God doesn't give us everything we want. We can't get mad at God just because we want it. He's not supplied it to us. He's not giving it to us because I'm glad He doesn't give us everything that I want. Because everything I want, some of the things I want is not good for me. Some of those things are harmful. And in fact, some of those things He might give me might simply become number one in my life, you see. That began to cherish and value and place in priority the gift rather than the giver. And so there you go. God doesn't give us everything that we want. Well, that ain't fair. No, but God knows all things. He knows what we have need of. He's to be the king in our lives. Let Him be king. Last lesson. God always gives us what we need. God always gives us what we need. I can tell you right now, no matter what you may think, if you don't have it, it's because God knows at this point in your life, you don't need it. You don't need it. To make first things first in your life, you need to stand on the promise that God will meet all of your needs. God will put all of these things, all these things shall be added unto you. God has not promised you everything, but He has promised to provide all that you need in life. What's the Lord trying to teach us is this. It is our job to serve God, and it's His job
to supply our need. But we've got to make Him number one in our lives in order for that to happen. Most people have that backwards. Most people think it's my job to supply, and it's God's job, you know, to serve me. That's what God is supposed to do. If they could, they would sing the old hymn this way: I'll have my own way, Lord. I'll have my own way. I'll be the potter, you be the clay. I'll mold you and make you after my will. While you are waiting, yielded and still at my beck and call. You see that? We think how silly that is. But is God really number one in your life? Is first things first in your life? You need to make God first in your life. And the first way, the first step in that is by accepting Christ as your personal Savior, admitting your sinfulness, believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and you call out to Him in prayer, asking Him to come into your heart and life, forgive you of your sin, and take control of your life because He died on Calvary's cross for you. Will you set right priorities in your life from here today? I mean, ask yourself this, you know, is Jesus number one in your life? Ask God, God, are you number one in my life, or do I just think that? Who's number one in your life today? You know, there's no better way than to be honest with God. The Bible says the truth shall set you free. And if Jesus is not number one in your life, He will let you know today, right here and right now. Will you put Him first? Will you live every moment of your life for Him? Will you let Him take control of every area of your life this day? He's asking you. He wants to be in that spot, but He will not force His way to be first in your life. All these other things, He's already promised, I will take care of those things. You make me first, and you'll never regret it a day in your life. Stand with me as we're ready for